This morning we conclude our series entitled Faith and Authentic Relationships, and on this last Sunday of the series, we're focusing on our relationships with our friends. So I'm reading from Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verses 9 through 12. Two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their toil. For if they fall, one will lift up the other. But woe to the one who is alone and falls, and does not have another to help. Again, if two lie down together, they keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? And though one might prevail against another, two will withstand one. A threefold cord is not quickly broken. And then also from the Old Testament, just one verse from Proverbs chapter 18, verse 24. Some friends play at friendship, but a true friend sticks closer than one's nearest kin. Well, what are you investing in? Because whatever you invest in, even the most carefully laid plans can go astray. Years ago, somebody introduced me to Krispy Kreme donuts. And because I thought Krispy Kreme donuts was such a great product, I thought, well, you know, I'll buy a little stock in Krispy Kreme, and that's what I did. And as word spread about just how delicious the donuts were, other people got inspired by Krispy Kreme, and they bought stock. And of course, Krispy Kreme built more stores, and people bought more stock, and that stock continued to go up and up. But then something we know as a diet called the no-carb diet came along. And then Krispy Kreme had expanded way too fast for the money they had, and the stock began to crash. So that by the time I sold my stock in Krispy Kreme, I lost way more than I ever made. I have learned over the years to hold loosely those investments, those financial investments that I make. Sometimes they may increase, and sometimes they may decrease. And frankly, I know that I may not even live to benefit from those investments. I might die even before I retire. Now, financial investments are important, but they are not the foundation upon which we should build our lives. But people tell us that our net worth is our assets minus our liabilities. The value of our house, the value of our cars, the value of our property, the value of our bank accounts, minus any debt or loans we have. That's, we're told, our net worth. Is that really our net worth? Is that really our value? Doesn't life have greater value than our net worth? Now, there are investments, I believe, that are worth our every effort. They are way more important than the fiscal bottom line. It's why the Apostle Paul wrote a letter to Timothy, and in that letter he said, store up the right treasure. The right net worth that will certainly build a foundation. And take hold, Paul says, the best part of life. I know somebody who is now retired, but when he was in his career days, he had no time for family or friends. He usually worked about 60 to 90 hours a week. His children grew up and got married and moved out of the house, and he really never got to know them. He is now married to his third wife. He also didn't have time to make friends. And today he feels alone. He was successful in his career. He received much recognition, and he was rewarded in the way of money, and he retired with a lot of money in his bank accounts. But what really is this man's net worth today? Not much. I think it is critical to have genuine friendships, friends that make our lives fuller, that help us in so many different ways. I think of a moving truck one day that was parked out in front of a house in Southern California. The moving truck was fully loaded with all the furniture, and the husband and wife were in the garage, and they were sweeping out the garage when a woman from across the street came across holding a pie in her hands and said, "I want to welcome you as new residents to our neighborhood. I want to give you this pie that I made myself." And the husband said, I can't take your pie." She said, "Certainly you can. I made it just for you. I moved into the neighborhood about 2 years ago, and nobody welcomed me to the neighborhood, so I wanted to make sure and welcome you." And the man said, "You don't understand. We have been living here for 4 years, and we're moving away." "Well," she said, a little dumbfounded, mouth open, "here, enjoy the pie anyway." Sometimes we don't take time to get to know our neighbors, to get to know friends. I know there are some lonely people in our church. How do I know that? Because they've told me so. So I tell you this because on Sunday mornings, I hope that you will say hello to people that you normally might walk past. Because even though we're here in a great crowd, there are more people who are lonely than you could possibly imagine. I would also encourage those who are lonely to make an effort to step out of the box and maybe invite somebody to lunch or invite somebody to get some coffee. Take a risk and try to do something about it. And if they refuse, don't give up. Ask somebody else. Keep at it because, as was mentioned in the children's sermon, the best way to have a friend is to be a friend. We know that good friends, of course, provide comfort when we're hurt by life. They will laugh with us. They will weep with us. Friends are willing to be with you in the toughest times. But you have to be open to it. Today, by the way, is Pentecost Sunday. I'm sorry, I should have sent out the memo last week that we should wear red, but at least I got the message and Doug got the message. And who? And your mother-in-law. A few of us. But what we celebrate at Pentecost Sunday is the coming of the Holy Spirit upon the people and upon the church. And the Holy Spirit is a guiding influence in our life, gives us nudges to do things. Matter of fact, as we talk about friendship, some of you might feel those times in which you have felt God nudging you to do something. God's Holy Spirit working in your life to say, "Why don't you call somebody?" And you haven't thought of them for maybe 5-10 years. But you follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. You pick up the phone, you call them, and usually they'll say something like, "Wow, how did you know I needed to talk to you right now?" Now, you might call it coincidence, but some people would call it the presence of the Holy Spirit nudging you to make a difference in somebody's life. I have learned over the years to pay attention to that nudging. Because some great ministry can be done by following God's Holy Spirit, causing us to reach out and be a friend to somebody. And sometimes all that's necessary is that we be a presence in somebody's life. In Job chapter 2, there are three friends who find out that Job has lost everything. He has lost his livestock, he has lost his crops, he has lost his house, he has lost his family, he has lost his health. He has lost everything. And they hear word about it. So they go to Job, and they don't even recognize Job. His health is so poor. And when they finally do recognize him, they tear their robes, they throw dust in the air, and they break down weeping, and they go and they sit with him. For 7 days and nights, they sit with him. They don't say any words. They just sit with him. They're a presence. By the way, when they start to say words, it all goes downhill from there. If you don't believe me, read the book of Job. Those three friends did something that the Hebrews call sitting Shiva. Shiva in Hebrew means seven. And in a traditional Hebrew home, when somebody experiences grief or loss, a spouse dies, then your friends come over and they sit Shiva for 7 days and seven nights. And they follow the lead of the mourners. If the mourners do not speak, they do not speak for 7 days. Now, if the mourners speak, then it is okay to speak about the memories of the loved one, about all the great stories. That's friendship. Friends also provide a place to vent. You know, sometimes our lives are going so well, but sometimes we are met with obstacles and problems, and we just need to be able to turn loose and share our feelings. Share about the injustices and the annoyances of this world. And sometimes it's our friends who can give us a different perspective. Sometimes we're so honed into one thing that they will cause us to think of other possibilities, and we gain fresh perspective. I'm sure all of you know what rock climbers are, people that climb rocks on mountains. But you ever heard of a free climber? A free climber is a little different. That person is a rock climber who climbs without ropes, who climbs without any safety gear. Matter of fact, I'd like to show you a brief video clip about a free climber.
He's up here without ropes or a safety harness. All he has is a pair of rubber climbing shoes. This is what climbers call free soloing, and it's so dangerous that less than 1% of people who climb attempt it.
Do you feel the adrenaline at all?
There is no adrenaline rush. You know, like if I get a rush, it means that something has gone horribly wrong, you know, because the whole thing should be pretty slow and controlled. And like, I mean, it's mellow.
Does the challenge appeal to you?
Yeah, for sure. Or being able to, like, always being able to push yourself, like always having something bigger to do or harder to do. Or anytime you finish a climb, there's always the next thing that you can try.
This is Alex in the film Alone on the Wall. He's done more than 1,000 free solo climbs, but none were tougher than this one. Here he is, just a speck on the northwest face of Half Dome. You can barely make out the Yosemite Valley floor below as he pauses to rest. He's the only person known to have free soloed the northwest face of Half Dome.
What do you consider Alex's greatest achievements to date?
That he's still alive. If you look at the past, people that have made a real habit of soloing, you know, at least half of them are dead.
So a free climber is a climber that climbs without ropes, without any sort of safety gear, without a friend. And you heard what happens to most free solo climbers that do that. They die. About half of them that do it on a regular basis die, because if you want to make one mistake, you're done. Most climbers climb with a rope, with safety gear, with a friend, because it is the friend that will save their life. And so we lift that up today. Even the scripture lifts that up and says a three-cord rope is not easily broken. In other words, if we are working with three friends, they will help get us through life. Why? Because they hold us accountable. If you're really close with your friends, you give them permission to speak into your life, to tell you how things really are, to guide you. When you go off course, it is your friends that say, Fred, you've done wrong here. You need to get back on track. And they say those words into your life because they want the very best for you. Friends also provide us encouragement in the face of discouragement. When we face failures and frustrations, it is friends who jump to our cause and who lift us back up. Last week, some of you asked why my wife wasn't here in worship. And it's because on Saturday, my son and my wife traveled up to Flagstaff. One of our relatives had a graduation party. And on Sunday, she stopped and my son and wife worshiped at Cottonwood United Methodist Church in Cottonwood, Arizona. After all, usually she's here in worship. She can't get away and worship at other churches. And her younger brother, Matt Colby, is the senior pastor there. So she worshiped with her brother. And then afterwards, after a worship service, they were standing around and talking with some of the church members with Matt. And one of the retired pastors in the church walked up to Matt and said, Matt, when I was preaching, I never used a manuscript. You can preach better without manuscripts. I saw that you were using a manuscript this morning. Also, when I preached, I only preached for 15 minutes because people only have an attention span of 12 to 15 minutes. I timed you this morning and I saw you went 21 minutes. Not a good friend, right? You know what my wife Beth did, right? Because she was there and she'd be gone. So she spoke up. She said, well, I know some pastors who preach excellent sermons who use manuscripts. She also said, I know some very large churches, in fact, that the sermons are 40 minutes long. I got a lot of time this morning. Do you hear what she did? She went to bat for her brother. She was her brother's cheerleader, her brother's good friend. And she encouraged her brother. Jesus once said, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." That's what really inspires friendship with others. Love. There was a vacation Bible school class. It was a second grade class. It was near the end of the class time when the volunteers brought in a new student, a new boy, into the classroom. And as he walked into the room, everybody couldn't help but notice that he was missing his left arm. Now, the teacher thought of this and thought, oh no, we don't know why he lost his arm. We don't know if maybe he's embarrassed by that or how he feels about that. I need to be very careful that I don't say anything or none of the other kids say anything that might embarrass this new kid. So very gingerly, she began to select her words as she went through the rest of class, hoping there would be no remarks from any of the kids. But she got to the very last thing she was to do in class, and she kind of relaxed a little bit, and she told the kids to do this kind of unusual closing. She said, I want you to make a church, kids. You remember that, right? Here's the church. Here is the steeple. Open the doors and see all the people. And suddenly after she said that, she realized she had done the thing that she didn't want anybody to embarrass this boy with because it would require two hands. And she said her face just turned beet red. But then there was this little girl sitting right next to this boy, and she reached out her hand and said, "Let's make this church together." You know, that's the friend you need. What investments are you making in your life? Are you making investments in family and friend relationships? Are you giving enough time and energy to cultivate those relationships? Gladys Barkas said, "The stock market might go up and it might go down, but friendships only grow in their value." What do you value most? What are you investing in? It's never too late to start investing in relationships. And Paul reminds us, take hold of life that really is life. Let's pray. Oh God, we recognize at this time that we are so thankful for those relationships in our lives, especially for friends. Some of us can celebrate the fact that we have had friends all the way back from grade school, and we have nurtured those relationships, and they have become more and more valuable over the years. And yet some of us would say we struggle to find a good friendship, and we feel lonely. And so, Lord, we would pray that we might be able to be a friend to each other, that we might be able to look beyond our current friendships and make new friendships and bring healing to people's lives. So strengthen us. In Jesus' name, amen.